This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illumination Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Finari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Crack Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by Jason DeGray. He's the author of the sci-fi novel Eve.
How are you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. It's not as hot as it's been the last couple of days. It's like cooled down, so that's nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. It just got hot here today, so it was a little miserable.
Yeah, the last couple of days have been hot, but today not so much. So, anyways, I always like to start these out with a fun question. So, Jason, would you live in your own book's world?
Probably not.
Yes, given the subject matter, I don't blame you.
Yeah. No, it's a pretty bleak world. So no, I do not think I would live there. Well, unless I was one of the Lux Machina, who were actually in cryo sleep, waiting for everything to reset. So they could wake back up. So if that were the case, yeah, if I could sleep through it, I would live there.
Oh, fair enough. So Jason, how long have you always wanted to be an author?
Oh, it's been since forever. I mean, I know that's, what cliche anymore, but it really is the truth. I mean, I've been telling stories and playing out things and stuff like that since before I could write. And when I started writing down stories. And as a matter of fact, in fifth grade, I was accused of plagiarism because of a writing assignment that I had gotten that my fifth grade teacher said was absolutely there. It's too good. There's no way a fifth grader could write this. And so I was accused of plagiarism in fifth grade. So, and I started trying to write my first novel when I was 12. Well, I was sitting in the kitchen at the table with the notebook while everybody else was in the living room watching Days of Thunder. I was trying to write my first novel. So, yeah, it's been a lifelong thing for me.
So what was that first novel?
It was a fantasy adventure that I was writing based on some characters that me and some friends had made up. And that was I was trying to write a story about those guys. And I probably still have it in storage over at my parents' house. It's probably still in my folder. But I went all out. I tried to, I had another one of my friends like draw some illustrations for it and and all this stuff. But it was all handwritten by pencil in a notebook. So, but fantasy adventure.
All right. So let's talk about your novel that you've actually published. Okay. Unless you published that novel you wrote when you were 12.
No, but that's a good idea. I might do that. Thank you. Right. Thanks for the idea.
Yeah. So let's talk about 3VE.
Okay.
Which is a dystopian sci-fi novel. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And I started out, I call it Eve. I started out writing I wanted to write a cyberpunk novel because I love the cyberpunk genre. It's probably my favorite sci-fi genre ever. I decided, I want to sit down and I want to write a cyberpunk novel. And so that's how I started it. I started it as, sci-fi cyberpunk thing that as I started writing it, it started developing and morphing outside of the genre, really, with, all sorts of weird things happening, and going on that aren't necessarily considered cyberpunk. And so, you know, it kind of got away from me in that regard. But it's definitely still, I think, a sci-fi novel, just not maybe a pure cyberpunk novel that, you know, that I had decided I was going to try to sit down and write to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I think that happens with my book series. Like, I have an idea of kind of it, and then it's never quite that.
Right, right. But you know, that's the beautiful thing, I think, right? That's the beauty of imagination and creating these worlds, right? Is things happen that we don't expect to happen, and you know, and that's exciting for us as authors too, right? To be surprised and to be taken in a new direction with our stories and, you know, and our characters and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So, what is Eve about?
Well, it is ultimately about stopping, you know, these evil corporations from hammering that final nail in the coffin of, you know, the world, as it were. And so, you know, that is really, you know, the overarching, you know, theme, but within that it's about, people finding themselves. It's about, you know, self-discovery and relationship and family and, you know, and all of this type of stuff that's set in, you know, this dystopian sci-fi world, that I really wanted to try to navigate real issues and, you know, and real life things, you know, in this world, because, you know, I figured, well, these people are still going to have real world issues and real world problems. And so, you know, how are they going to overcome those and, you know, and make their way through that, you know, despite their environment, despite their surroundings, you know? And so, you know, it's really what it's about is, you know, I think self-discovery. The character Eve, for instance, has amnesia. And so whenever she is introduced, and so she is on a journey to remember who she is. But, you know, along that way, she starts finding out that, you know, it doesn't matter who she was, that, you know, that the important thing is who she's becoming now. And, you know, the same thing happens with Jacob Riley, my other protagonist, and he is, you know, stuck in a rut, you know, in life, and he can't get away from his past and he can't get out of that. And, you know, and so the meeting up with Eve helps break him out of that, and he's able to explore himself and, you know, and find out who he really is, you know, as well. But, you know, together, you know, they join forces to try to stop this evil corporation from executing their diabolical master plan.
Okay. So what do you think about this book that kind of made it go a bit more away from cyberpunk? You know, like what sort of elements do you feel kind of made it leave that or sort of bleed out of that genre?
Well, for instance, okay, one of the things is I have the corporate Denver, and this is the stereotypical cyberpunk city, right, with the high technology and the disparity and, you know, and the cybernetic enhancements and, you know, the corporation ruling everything and stuff like that. You know, so there is that, but then opposite that, you know, diametrically opposed to that is sort of this, you know, what I call the heart. And the heart is this small grove of natural life that hasn't been completely wiped out yet, that the corporations can't get into, right? Because the you know, it seems like to them that the earth itself is fighting back to keep them out and pushing them out. And, you know, and a lot of weird non-technological really things happen, you know, around these hearts, around these, like, you know, these last bastions of organic life on the planet, right? And and so, you know, the you know, just the things that happen in there, again, you know, that it deviates from what we think of as, you know, cyberpunk, because, you know, I don't stay in the city, as it were. You know, I get out and explore the world, you know, outside that. And, you know, that's you know, and what would happen to people that were in those hearts? What kind of people would they be? You know, and the fact that they're regressing back in towards this type of barbarism is, you know, again, not something that we see really in cyberpunk. I mean, you know, that it's not that they're low tech, they're no tech, you know. And so, you know, that's one of the main, I guess, deviations from it. The other is, you know, another big one is I worked a lot of Templar, Knights Templar lore and mythology into the world as, okay, you know, as well. And, you know, the one of the main antagonists in that is deeply, you know, immersed and obsessed with, you know, this Templar mythology and this Templar lore. And, you know, and so, you know, that's, again, a big part of the story that really kind of deviates from what we think of as, like, you know, cyberpunk tropes of, you know, Netrunner type of dudes off in, you know, fighting evil corporations and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, sure. So, what parts of the Knight Templar lore did you use? Just curious, because I'm a, you know, I like that sort of stuff.
Well, well, you know, without giving away too much.
Yeah, without giving your plot away.
Right. Without giving too much away, Baphomet.
Okay.
And you know, the you know what Baphomet, what the church said Baphomet was, according to the Knights Templar, and, you know, as this thing that was giving them wisdom or secret knowledge and things like that, right? And so, you know, that's a big part of it, okay, you know, yeah. And things around that, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So, what attracts you to cyberpunk? What do you like about it?
First and foremost, I mean, you know, the technology and all that kind of stuff is cool and neat and, you know, fun to play around with and stuff like that. But what I really like is that punk aspect, that high tech, low life type of stuff. The inborn, ingrained rebellion against this dominant, oppressive system that, you know, these protagonists in these stories usually find themselves up against, right? It's you know, overwhelmingly oppressive in most cases, but, you know, they're fighting back against it anyway, you know, and trying to live outside of it, you know, and not live under its yoke. And, you know, that's a huge part of cyberpunk, you know, is the idea behind cyberpunk of rebelling against really the technology that, is being used to enslave us, and using that very technology in order to do that. And so, you know, this is something that has always fascinated me about cyberpunk, you know, and the genre and, you know, the hacker movement, I guess, that grew up around it and all that type of stuff. You know, so that's, you know, that's it really at, you know, at the heart. That's what I love most about cyberpunk.
Okay, and let's just pretend your book is traditional cyberpunk, since you undoubtedly have plenty of cyberpunk stuff in it, right? Because from reading blurb and all. So, what are some of the pitfalls you found in sort of writing like cyberpunk that, like, you know, maybe mistakes that you made that other authors who want to give the genre a try might want to avoid, or did you not have these issues?
Well, you know, I guess as far as traditional cyberpunk goes, you know, it was one of the most difficult things that, you know, that I had writing about it was how, you know, we're using the technology, right? Because it's evolving so quickly that, you know, even stuff that was cyberpunk in the 90s, we have today, right? And so it kind of dates it. And so, you know, I was trying to move that technology forward, right? And trying to, push the limits of what we have today, and in envisioning, you know, the world and, you know, this far into the future type of thing. Where will it put us with the technology that we have today? And, so that was the most difficult part for me, right? Because like I said, that even what we consider cyberpunk from the 90s is obsolete. I mean, I was just rewatching Johnny Mnemonic not too long ago, and the guy like doubled his implant, his internal storage implant, right? And he doubled it to like 6 gigabytes or something And I was like, wow, okay. It's like, holy crap, that's not even an Xbox game. Like, okay. So trying to take what we have now and put it into the future in a way that I would hope wouldn't be obsolete, in 5 years.
Right. I was watching Babylon 5, which is from the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
They have like print newspapers.
Right.
I mean, they're like customized, like print on demand newspaper, and you have to like recycle your old one. So it seems to be reusing the material, but it was still like print newspaper.
I got to say, Babylon 5 is one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I'm really enjoying it. I'm in season 3. On my rewatch. So it's great stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, it really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's my favorite TV show. Like,
I mean, besides Firefly,
Firefly's great, but it's well, you know, Fox kind of canceled it. Anyways, we don't need to be talking about Firefly,
right?
Do you have any problems, or like, did you do like research for like any like hacking stuff or programming stuff, or did you just sort of like not include like detailed information about that? You know, because it's so easy to like make yourself look like an idiot if you don't know what you're talking about in the in that sort of space.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, I did, and again, this is something that I've. A genre that I've been, immersed in for a long time. So, I know kind of, what I wanted to do as far as, the hacking stuff. And I didn't get into, into that as much, as some other cyberpunk stuff. I mean, it wasn't, something that I was trying to put focus on per se, right? But it wasn't too bad for me. I think. I mean, I did not try to go into like too fine of a detail, for those very reasons, right? The purist readers out there would be like, that's not how you do that, I didn't do that, for that reason. I tried to leave it open to the imagination enough that you could suspend disbelief. That was my goal.
Right, right. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I don't write sci-fi. I'm like, I don't want to get like the science wrong or whatever. And have to, figure all that out. It was like, I watched, science stuff, and even I get annoyed when I'm like, okay, I know that's not true, and I'm not like heavily read in the subject or whatever. So,
right.
That's why I like fantasy. Then I could be like, well, listen, I made up how my magic system works, and as long as I'm consistent with my own made up rules, I'm, who's going to tell me that I'm doing it wrong? As long as I'm not breaking my rules.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it can kind of work with sci-fi like that too. I mean, because who says that, the science that we have now, again, with everything changing, I mean, what we know of as true today wasn't 50 years ago, You know, I mean, so science is always progressing and marching on, and, you know, and things like that as well. I mean, so what we think of as is this is how things are done today might not necessarily be the case in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now. It something else completely new, completely, original could come. And they would be like, oh, wow, can you believe those guys 20 years ago thought this? You know, like that's so yeah, you can kind of make it work if you project it far enough into the future. That's the thing.
Yeah, where you're into what who said that? It was I know what he wrote. I'm blanking on his name, but he said you know, sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Right. I think that was Arthur C. Clarke.
Yeah, that's it. That was who I was looking for.
Yeah. And well, you know, and he was one of those hard sci-fi type of writers, dude, that really like researched his stuff. And
you know, when you're an astrophysicist,
right?
No, not right. Arthur C. Clarke. He wasn't. I'm thinking of Carl Sagan. But no, right. Arthur C. Clarke researched his stuff.
Right. Yeah. You know, reading the journals and, you know, and all that type of stuff about it to see where the science was at and stuff. I mean, so, you know, he really did take that, pure approach as far as.
Yeah. I guess I like the harder sci-fi, but I don't want to write hard sci-fi.
Right. Because, yeah, that is a lot of research.
Yeah. So what is up for you next, Jason, in your writing career?
Oh, well, I have another book that I'm working on. It's another sci-fi book, not cyberpunk as much as it's space western, and I'm working on that. That's going to be the first book in a series, and I'm going to two of my previous published works are going to be republished here very shortly with the new publisher. And so my Ruined Man series is coming back after a brief hiatus. And these are paranormal detective novels that I had written back in, and that were published back in like 2017, but the publisher that published was having complications or whatever. So I got them back and passed them on to a new guy. And, they are going to be re-releasing them. So between that and this project that I'm working on now, you know, I plan to start and write that third book in the Ruined Man series that I didn't get to yet. And so that's what I'm going to be working on next.
Awesome. Well, Jason, would you like to tell our listeners where they can connect with you on the internet?
Sure. I'm on my website, at jasondegray.com. I am on Facebook at Jason DeGray Author, and those are my two main ones. I don't get on Twitter much. I don't use that. Instagram is at TRM Novels.
Okay.
But mostly my website and Facebook. That's where I'm at.
All right. Well, it was really great talking with you, Jason.
Yes, thank you very much.
Have yourself a good one.
All right, you too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com, and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.